The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon. King Features. Can honey protect the stomach from aspirin? Question. My mother has neck and back pain and sees a physical therapist for it. When her physical therapy was unavailable for a few weeks, she was in considerable pain. I suggested she take aspirin for pain relief, but it gives her terrible heartburn. All non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs do. A few weeks ago, I read about a study in which rats with NSAID-induced ulcers were given honey. In 2 weeks, the honey had healed 83% of the ulcers and protected their stomachs from further damage. I decided to perform my experiment. Mom agreed to try taking honey with her aspirin. The result? No heartburn. I may be more excited than she is because my experiment has worked so well. Maybe this has potential to help other people who have to take aspirin for a medical condition but experience irritation. Answer. Your experiment is fascinating. A review of research suggests that honey can heal ulcers in rats, and that's cited in Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine, July 15, 2018. That said, until there is a clinical trial with human subjects, this approach is at best experimental. Question. I have had dry eyes for years and tried all sorts of artificial tear products. When I went for my most recent eye exam, I mentioned this to the doctor. She did some tests in darkness with a direct light. She said my tears were, in my words, more globby, I believe, and therefore not coating the surface of my eye correctly. She suggested I take oral krill oil. I purchased a supplement, and guess what? It works. I hardly need to use eye drops at all. Answer. When the tears become too viscous, as yours had, they may not do the job of protecting the cornea as they should. A study in people with type 2 diabetes and dry eye disorder found that omega-3 fatty acids improved the tear film and helped the surface of the eye, cited in Journal of the American College of Nutrition, January 2017. Krill, K-R-I-L-L, krill oil is derived from tiny marine creatures that are a great source of these omega-3 fats. A study in the journal Ophthalmology from January 2017 found that supplementation with krill oil improved symptoms of dry eye disease. On the other hand, a relatively large clinical trial comparing omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil to placebo found no benefit for dry eye, and that's cited in the New England Journal of Medicine, May 3, 2018. Do some statins prevent diabetes and Alzheimer's? Question. You have written that statin-type cholesterol-lowering drugs can cause diabetes. You included pravastatin in that list. Historically, it lowers your chances of developing diabetes by 30%. For many people, statins will save their lives. It also can prevent Alzheimer's disease. Please tell your readers the whole story. Answer. For patients with heart disease, statins can indeed make a difference. There is quite a bit of controversy, though, about the benefit of statins for people who have not been diagnosed with heart disease. And that's cited in JAMA Internal Medicine, November 15, 2016. We understand why you might think pravastatin or Pravacol is different from other statins when it comes to diabetes. An old study published in the journal Circulation, January 23, 2001, reported that pravastatin reduced the risk of diabetes by 30%. A new study, however, reports that use of statins was associated with a 38% higher risk of incident type 2 diabetes, cited in the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology, March 5, 2019. The authors did not find a difference between various statins when it came to the likelihood of developing diabetes. As for preventing Alzheimer's disease, that too has been controversial. A review of the available literature Cochrane Database of Systemic Reviews, January 4, 2016, found no credible evidence that statins prevent cognitive decline or dementia. Question. I originally took Lexapro for depression without problems. When I started the generic escitalopram, I got hives. I worry about generic drug quality control in foreign countries, so I checked the price of brand name Lexapro, and it's nearly $500 a month, which I can't afford. So my thought was to get the brand name version from Canada, where it is much cheaper. Do you have a list of trustworthy Canadian pharmacies? Answer. According to GoodRx.com, the average retail price of Lexapro in the U.S. is $419 a month. Even with a coupon, the price is still high at around $360 a month. In Canada, the price of brand name Lexapro runs anywhere from $60 to $100 for the same amount. We're sending you our e-guide to saving money on medicine with tips about reliable ways to cut drug costs safely. This electronic resource can be found at www.peoplespharmacy.com in our health guide section. Tests for diabetes don't always agree. Question. I am confused about tests for diabetes. I had some blood sugar measurements near 300. That means I have diabetes. However, my HbA1c blood test was always below 6, which I understand is considered normal. Then my physician ordered that nasty lengthy test where you have to have your blood sugar measured 3 times in 2 hours after you drink some sugary stuff. This test confirmed that my body can handle sugar well. I started taking medication for diabetes and was able to get my blood sugar levels down. Why didn't the A1C test ever indicate any issue? Answer. A new study suggests that oral glucose tolerance test, the OGTT, you describe is far more accurate than the A1C blood test doctors often use. The researchers conducted both tests for 9,000 people who had not been diagnosed with diabetes. That's the annual meeting of the Endocrine Society, March 2019. The OGTT revealed diabetes in many people whose levels of hemoglobin A1C were within the normal range. If you would like to learn more about controlling your blood sugar, we could suggest our guide to managing diabetes. Question. You wrote that proton pump inhibitor drugs for acid reflux can put a person at risk for kidney disease. That happened to me. I quit taking the PPI upon learning that I had stage 3 kidney disease and my kidney function is holding steady now. Changing from the PPI was a fairly easy process. I went to Zantac and it works well in controlling my GERD. Why does anyone take these PPI medicines? They can be so detrimental to health. Answer. GERD, or gastroesophageal reflux disease, is not only unpleasant, it also can lead to changes in the lining of the esophagus. Before proton pump inhibitors like Nexium, Prevacid, and Prilosec, doctors prescribed H2 blockers such as Tagamet, Pepcid, and Zantac. H2 blockers work reasonably well to control chronic heartburn without damaging the kidneys, cited in Scientific Reports Online, February 19, 2019. From the Associated Press, don't take pain patients off opioids abruptly, FDA urges doctors. U.S. health officials recently warned doctors not to abruptly stop prescribing opioid painkillers to patients who are taking them for chronic pain ailments such as backaches. The Food and Drug Administration said it will add a new advice on tapering to all labels for opioid painkillers such as OxyContin, Vicodin, and dozens of generic pills. Federal and state officials have been fighting a nationwide opioid epidemic, which includes not only legal painkillers, but also illicit drugs like heroin and fentanyl. Fatal overdoses tied to opioids have dragged down U.S. life expectancy and killed more than 400,000 people since 1999, according to government figures. The new label will warn doctors that rapidly discontinuing opioids in patients who are dependent on them can cause withdrawal symptoms, including uncontrolled pain, nausea, chills, and anxiety. In the worst cases, these problems have been tied to suicide. The federal agency said doctors and patients should agree on a plan to gradually reduce their dosage based on their treatment history, type of pain, psychological state, and other factors. The FDA stressed the importance of a customized plan. The Associated Press from Atlanta. Immune therapy shows promise against cancer. A treatment that helps the immune system fight deadly blood cancers is showing early signs of promise against some solid tumors, giving hope that this approach might be extended to more common cancers in the future. The treatment, called CAR-T therapy, involves genetically modifying some of a patient's own cells to help them recognize and attack cancer. Richard Carlstrand of Long Key, Florida, had it more than a year ago for mesothelioma, an aggressive cancer of the lining of the lungs. "We were going into unknown territories to try this," he said, "but now he shows no sign of cancer and I couldn't be happier." Results on his and other cases were discussed recently at an American Association for Cancer Research conference in Atlanta. The first CAR-T therapies were approved in 2017 for some leukemia and lymphomas. After being altered in the lab, the modified immune system cells are returned to the patient through an IV, which puts them right where the cancer is, in the blood. But that approach doesn't work well if the cells have to travel far through the bloodstream to get the tumors in the lung, breast, colon, or other places. Solid tumors are notorious for not letting the immune cells enter, and not enough may make it to have an effect, said Dr. Prasad Adushamili of Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. A bigger worry is that the proteins on solid tumor cells that these therapies target also are found on normal cells at lower levels, so the therapy might harm them too. The doctor helped design a new CAR-T to try to avoid these problems and tested it on 19 patients with mesothelioma and two others with lung and breast cancer, respectively, that had spread to the chest lining. About 150,000 patients in the U.S. each year face this situation. The modified cells were injected directly into the chest where the tumors were. Genetic safety switch was added so a medicine could be given to destroy the cells if they caused harm. After the therapy, one patient was able to have surgery and radiation and is doing well 20 months later with no further treatment. 15 others were well enough to start on a drug that boosts the immune system in a different way. 11 of the 15 have been studied long enough to report results. Two had signs of cancer disappear for about a year, although one later relapsed. Six saw their tumor shrink. Three saw their cancer worsen. From the Costco Connection magazine, "Right Back a Chew, Dealing with Seasonal Allergies," by Linda Bernstein. She's a PharmD and president and CEO of Vita Media Corporation, a medical communications company. Hay fever or allergic rhinitis is one of the most common ailments. The 2017 National Health Interview Survey reported 7.7% of the adult population, which is close to 20 million people, were told within the past year by a doctor or health care professional that they have hay fever. Hay fever describes the allergic symptoms that occur when the body's immune system releases chemicals upon exposure to airborne allergens such as pollens, dust, animal dander, or feathers. Plants that cause hay fever include trees, grasses, and weeds. Symptoms. Some hay fever symptoms occur immediately after you have been exposed to the allergen. They include itchy nose, mouth, eyes, throat, or skin, problems with smell, runny nose, sneezing, watery eyes. Other hay fever symptoms may occur later, such as stuffy nose or nasal congestion, coughing, clogged ears, sore throat, dark circles under the eyes, puffiness under the eyes, fatigue and irritability, and headache. Exams and tests. Your health care provider may do a physical exam, ask questions about your symptoms and what triggers them, and run blood and skin tests to diagnose your condition. Finally, prevention and treatment. To prevent and treat symptoms, avoid the allergen whenever possible. Mild allergic rhinitis may be helped by a saline nasal wash to remove mucus from the nose. Use prescription and non-prescription medications. Ask your health care provider about any histamines, nasal corticosteroid sprays, decongestants, and other medicines such as leukotriene inhibitors. And finally, try immunotherapy via injections of allergen extracts to adjust and calm your body's immune response. Gut bomb. Identifying and treating diverticulitis can keep more serious complications at bay. And this is by Robert Jones Pales, a freelance writer who lives in northern Indiana, from the Costco Connection. Maybe it starts with what you think is simple nausea. Within hours, however, you're experiencing pain levels that send you to the emergency room or urgent care. You may be suffering from diverticulitis. According to the American Gastroenterological Association, diverticular disease is present in 50% of people over 60. Small pockets called diverticula form in the wall of the sigmoid colon on the lower left side of the abdomen. The presence of these pockets, commonly called diverticulosis, usually goes unnoticed. Sometimes, however, they can become infected or develop a tear accompanied by bleeding. This is called diverticulitis. Symptoms can include a fever, chills, diarrhea, vomiting, constipation, bloating, and cramping in the lower abdomen. Mild cases of diverticulitis are usually treated with antibiotics, but if the infection or tear in the abdominal wall is severe enough, it can develop into serious complications such as peritonitis, sepsis, fistulas, blockages, or abscesses. Sometimes surgery is required to resection the colon. One of the most frustrating aspects of diverticular disease is there is no conclusive evidence to explain why some people get it and some don't. It's hard to say what exactly causes diverticula to form, but there could be a case made that it is partially lifestyle and partially generic, says Dr. Amy L. Halverson, a colon and rectal surgeon in Chicago. According to Halverson, one theory is that a poor diet can often lead to constipation, which puts undue pressure on the colon's walls, which causes pouches to form and later become infected. In individuals who eat a balanced diet, it might be hereditary. Medical professionals previously believed nuts and seeds lodged in the pouches, causing them to tear and become infected. Halverson says this notion is false. There's absolutely no data to support the argument that you can't eat popcorn, nuts, and seeds, Halverson says. There are no forbidden foods. In fact, the foods formerly thought to induce attacks are high in fiber, which aids in avoiding constipation. According to the Mayo Clinic, 6% of individuals who experience diverticulitis will need surgery, and 30 to 40% of people will never develop it again. Some people live their entire lives with diverticulosis and never experience an attack, while others may have only one. While the cause cannot be pinpointed, preventive measures can be taken to reduce the risks of developing the disease. Halverson emphasizes that it's important to work with your physician to implement a colon management plan that includes both regular screenings and a colon-friendly diet. Eat a high-fiber diet and drink plenty of liquids, she says. That is not only good for overall colon health, but also for overall body health. You'll feel better in general. The Mayo Clinic Health Letter. News and our views. Toothbrushing reduces cardiovascular risks. Brushing your teeth twice daily is important for maintaining good oral hygiene. This daily routine can also benefit for your heart. A study presented at the 2018 American Heart Association Scientific Sessions provides new evidence on this link. The study's 682 participants self-reported their tooth brushing habits compared with the recommendation of twice a day for at least 2 minutes each time. Over an average of 28 months of follow-up, those who reported brushing their teeth less frequently and for a shorter duration had three times the risk of a first major cardiovascular event than those who met the tooth brushing guidelines. These cardiovascular events included heart attack, stroke, hospitalization for heart failure, or dying of a cardiovascular cause. A separate study published in December 2018, the issue of hypertension, further endorses the link between oral health and cardiovascular disease. It found that gum, periodontal disease, appears to be associated with high blood pressure and also interferes with medications to treat this condition. In addition to brushing your teeth thoroughly at least twice a day, Mayo Clinic experts recommend daily flossing and regular visits to your dentist. While brushing your teeth, you may want to set a timer or use an electric toothbrush that has a built-in 2-minute timer to ensure you're spending enough time on this important step. Moderate exercise can improve mental sharpness. If you're an older adult who doesn't exercise, you may rationalize your sedentary ways by telling yourself it's too late to make much of a difference in your physical and mental health. However, according to a study in neurology, it takes very little exercise to make often fairly dramatic improvements in the sharpness of your thinking and cognitive ability. The study involved 160 older adults who led a sedentary lifestyle and who also exhibited a mild decline in cognitive abilities. Participants were randomly assigned to one of four groups. One group started an exercise plan that involved 45 minutes of continuous, moderately intense walking 3 days a week. Another group was counseled in following the healthy dietary approaches to stop hypertension or the DASH diet. The third group did both the exercise and DASH diet, and the fourth group did neither and received only general health counseling. At the outset of the study, participants exhibited cognitive performance consistent with people in their early 90s, about 20 to 30 years older than their actual ages. After 6 months, those in the exercise plus DASH group took nearly 9 years off their cognitive age, and those who did neither had their cognitive age increase by 6 months. The authors noted that separating the effects of exercise versus the effects of diet was difficult in such a small study. In their analysis, the exercise effect was more significant. This study adds to a significant body of research indicating the best known way to improve cognition and lower the risk of cognitive decline, Alzheimer's disease, and dementia is through basic good health. The study shows that even a simple start walking at a moderately intense level 3 days a week can pay big dividends in a short amount of time. Second opinion. Question. A few of my toenails have turned a yellowish color and seem to have thickened. Is there anything I can do to fix this? Answer. What you're likely experiencing is a fungal nail infection. Yes, treatments are available, although they may take some vigilance. Fungal nail infections are common, especially among older adults. As nail growth slows with age, it's easier for fungus to establish in the nail bed. A fungal infection may result in toenails or fingernails that are thickened, discolored from whitish to yellow-brown, brittle, crumbly, or ragged. Although usually not serious, these infections can cause complications, particularly if you have diabetes or a weakened immune system. If you appear to have a fungal nail infection and it bothers you, see your primary doctor, a podiatrist, or a dermatologist who can trim your nails and scrape away debris to limit fungal growth. Generally, antifungal medications are the main treatment. Oral antifungal medications taken for about 6 months are the most effective. For milder infections, or if you can't take the oral options, a topical medication may be appropriate. These medications require regular application for up to a year to prevent new fungal growth. Laser treatments also may be an option, although there's little data supporting their effectiveness. It's important to note that reinfection is likely, especially in older adults. My question. My doctor told me I had a trained I'm sorry. My doctor told me I had a transient ischemic attack caused by an internal tear in my carotid artery. So far, I'm only being treated with a drug to prevent blood clotting. Shouldn't the tear be fixed? Answer. Your carotid arteries are among the main vessels that carry blood to your brain. You feel the carotid artery when taking a neck pulse. An artery tear or dissection occurs when layers of the interior arterial walls separate. With carotid dissection, the dissection rarely goes completely through the artery due to its elastic outer layers. But it's still a dangerous situation. Blood in the separated layers of the vessel wall can lead to blood clot formation. A clot can grow, creating an inward bulge that may partially or fully block blood flow to the artery. More commonly, clots can break free of the dissection area and block an artery supplying blood to a portion of the brain. The result is a stroke or a transient ischemic attack, or TIA. A stroke, or TIA, is common, but doesn't always occur with carotid dissection. Other symptoms include headaches and neck pain, or Horner's syndrome, a condition with an abrupt onset in which one pupil is smaller than the other and the eyelid may droop. If you have a stroke due to carotid dissection, the first priority is emergency treatment of the stroke, or TIA. Aside from that, the main danger of carotid dissection is a stroke or a second stroke caused by a blood clot. Thus, a drug to prevent clot formation is typically the go-to treatment for the first 3 to 6 months after diagnosis. In many cases, the dissection will seal itself off or heal over time. Follow-up imaging is often performed to assess healing process. Surgery is sometimes warranted, such as when TIAs or strokes continue despite drug therapy. A decision on the method or method of repair is individualized and is best made after a discussion with your doctor. Adult ADHD, underrecognized in older adults. We'll read this, discuss this on our next program. Just to give you a synopsis, the adult signs and symptoms. ADHD manifests in adulthood in several ways. And then why do you seek help? Well, it may be easy to dismiss the struggles of adult ADHD, and that's just the way you tick and you manage just fine, but you can it can interfere with your daily functions. So we'll review that next time. But we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy. Thank you.